Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Tony Smith.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Fat Tony, live here from Everbank Field. The Jaguars getting OTA started today, the first of 3 days this week where they'll be out on the practice field as a team. The rookies and veterans combined, and of course, that'll be a big story throughout the week for us here on Jaguars Today. Hope everyone had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, that you enjoyed all the barbecue, the friends, the family, anything else that you got together and did, that you did it safely, at least safely enough to be listening to me this morning here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM, and of course, taking a few moments over the course of the weekend to remember those who have fallen in service to our country that have defended our right to come on here and talk about something as trivial as sports on a daily basis. So we say thank you to the men and women who have sacrificed their lives, the families of those men and women who have seen that sacrifice made and still feel that impact every day. Here on the First Coast, we are obviously a military city with the Navy very close to our hearts. So hopefully you took a few minutes this weekend and remembered the sacrifice that has been made that allows us to do something as silly as talk sports here every day on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey not here with us today. Mike has decided a three-day weekend is just not enough, apparently. We get the access every year. One of the perks of what we do, we don't get the opportunity to go play media day out at TPC Sawgrass because, well, we're working that day here with Jaguars Today, and it's always right butting up right against our time, but that doesn't matter to Mike today. He's taking the opportunity because he's got it to go out and play TPC Sawgrass, so he'll be back with us tomorrow out golfing today with a couple of friends. I told him, really, you're going to miss the first day of OTAs? He said, hey, it's Sawgrass. I said, all right, I can understand that. What we got coming up today, obviously a lot about the Jaguars and OTAs as they get rolling this morning. They're out on the practice field right now. Got started about 20, 25 minutes ago. So everyone out there practicing this morning, we'll keep you updated on what's going on with them at least as much as we can. Because, again, we can't report on everything that is seen. I'm a little disappointed this year that I don't get the opportunity to go out and watch OTAs like I did for the last handful of years because they're running it up right against Jaguars today. And we'll be doing this show instead. But they got started about half an hour ago. John Osier, who's out there watching practice right now, he'll join me here in about 15 minutes or so and let us know what some of his storylines are going into the OTAs, some of the general things that he's looking for as we go into OTAs and coming out of them as well. Again, we can't talk about all the specifics we see. We can't tell you how good Marquise Lee looked on a particular nine route or any of that kind of stuff that's done after the one-on-one portions of the practice, but we can give you general ideas about how we feel about some of the things that we see out there as members of the media given access to the practices. So we'll keep you updated not only today. John Osher will join us at 10:15 today, but hopefully for the next couple of days as well. After the first portion of the practice, the plan is to have Osher come in here and talk a little bit about what he's seen, some of the storylines from the day before, whatever they're writing about, reporting about on Jaguars.com. So we'll start that today with OTAs getting started. John Osher will join me again here in about 15 minutes. We're also going to start this week a report from some of the other AFC South teams. They've gone through free agency in the draft, as have the Jaguars, so we wanted to get some reports from some of these cities that the teams, the Jaguars play twice a year, obviously, in the division, the biggest rivals that they have, start getting an idea about how they feel about their football teams going into the season, some of the big questions that they're dealing with as well. We'll start today in Houston, which is an interesting place to start. I can tell you, I don't pay much attention to weather in Jacksonville, much less weather in Houston, right? Like, I just don't pay much attention to weather in Houston, but apparently it's been brutal. Brutal enough that the OTAs that were supposed to get started for the Houston Texans today have been delayed. They've canceled the opening of those OTAs because of the floods that are going on in the Houston area right now. And some of the pictures coming out, if you haven't seen them, are insane. Just insane, some of the things going on some of the streets in Houston right now. So hopefully everyone out there going to be safe, but we will check in with the Houston Texans. John Harris, who joined us for the media mock draft, who was a former coach here in Jacksonville in high school football, will join us to talk about the Houston Texans. He is the sideline reporter for them on a week-to-week basis. So we'll talk to him, get an idea of where the Texans feel like they are in their offseason. And at the end of the show today, the hope is that every day during OTAs, because Mike and I don't get the opportunity this year because of the time that they're going to be out there practicing, because we don't get the opportunity to go out there and watch what's going on, but we hope to catch you guys up on everything that's going on from a media perspective, but especially from the on-field perspective of the players. That idea is brought with, we're trying to get a player or coach on every day after practice. So the last segment of the show we're setting aside for hopefully somebody to come in. I talked to Tad Dickman about it again this morning. You never know for sure, right? you know nothing for sure with these guys. You're not totally sure what time practice will actually end, what time they'll be able to get somebody in here. But the plan, tentatively at least, is to have a player or coach on every day for the last segment of the show during OTA. So that would be today, tomorrow, and Thursday this week. And then we'll get into some more OTAs next week. So hopefully we'll catch up with somebody after practice today, and as well as John Osher here in just a couple minutes, and John Harris from Houston. The Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you today and every day by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Today we're asking you, quite simply, with OTAs getting started for the Jags, what are the biggest storylines that you're looking for? What player do you have your eye on? What story do you have your eye on coming out of OTAs for this Jacksonville Jaguars team, outside of everybody stay healthy, which is the number one priority every year at this time of year? You just don't want to see anybody get hurt. We've already experienced that here in Jacksonville. So outside of everyone coming out of this thing as healthy as they were coming into it, what are the big storylines, players that you have your eye on? You can respond to that question on Twitter at 1010XLFatTony, at 1010XLTyler, or on the Facebook page today, facebook.com/JaguarsToday. We'll get to some of your responses a little bit later on in the show. The Jags are getting OTAs started today, and that's obviously the big story in the world of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I was thinking about this a little bit yesterday over the holiday weekend, and, you know, with the Jags getting started, with the rookies finally getting on the field with the veterans this week, and I used the word veterans with this team. It's a bunch of guys going into their second and third years, basically. But I started thinking about, you know, there are expectations in Jacksonville, right? And I know what my expectations are for this team this year. I want to see them get out of the double-digit loss column, essentially. 7-9 or better would be the expectation that I have for this football team this year. And I got to thinking about, is that realistic? Right? Is that a realistic expectation to put on this team with what they've done? And I look at where they were 3 years ago when Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley took over this roster, and you'd have to be a fool to not feel better about where they stand right now, right? I mean, you'd have to be a fool to not feel better about where the roster is now compared to where it was when Mike Mularkey was let go as the head coach of this team. They're clearly more talented. There's so many more positions where you feel like they have some depth that they haven't had in a number of years, basically since that mid-2000s point. Now, they haven't had the success on field that those mid-2000s teams had, so it's still kind of a wait-and-see period. But I got to thinking, because I told myself going into this offseason that I wasn't going to fall for it completely again, right? Like Joe says a lot on XL Primetime, this is an off-season team, and they've been an off-season team. You get this sense of excitement every year in the off-season for this Jaguars team, and there's reasons for it. Look, I think they did pretty well in free agency. I think they did darn well in the draft. It's a shame that their first-round draft pick isn't going to be around for his rookie year, but I think they did well. I think they've upgraded the roster in places where they felt like they needed to pretty significantly. Now, that has to show up on the field, clearly. The issue is, everybody feels that way. That is the nature of the NFL offseason. And when we talked to John Harris in Houston today at 10:40 and throughout the week when we talked to other guys from the AFC South, I'm sure you're going to get a similar story. Everybody has this sense that they've improved in the offseason, right? They've had free agency. The other 31 teams in this league, they've had free agency. They've had a draft to feel like they've gotten better, right? So I started thinking about it. I was like, if there's always a couple of teams, right, that start making that jump, that start jumping up that maybe people didn't expect or they had really bad seasons the year before. And I was trying to figure out some of the factors that go into those teams who make that kind of jump. What is it about them that puts them in a position to be able to do that kind of thing, right? And is Jacksonville going to find themselves in that position this offseason? And because everybody has free agency, everybody has a draft, everybody feels like they're adding new talent to their roster every offseason. But not everybody improves as much as the fans would like to see them improve in an offseason. And there are some teams, obviously, that have that staying power. They're going to be at the top of the standings when everything is said and done on a year-to-year basis because of mostly who they have playing quarterback. But whatever the variety of factors is, they're going to be up there. So how do the Jaguars break into that if everybody has the same opportunity in an offseason to improve? And for the most part, feel like they do. And what it comes down to me, is something that we talked about a lot last year. Look, we've talked over and over and over about the young talent on this team and how much they need to see Blake Bortles and these young receivers take that step up. That's it, though. I mean, honestly, that's it. If those guys take a step forward, if the majority of those players develop into the player that you thought they were going to be, the best versions of themselves in the NFL, then this is a team that is capable in 2015 of making that push towards 500, of making that push towards maybe even a wild card berth in the AFC. That's if all of those guys develop the way that you think they could. Now look, realistically, is everybody going to develop that way? Probably not. Probably not. That's just not the way things work out, right? These are people. They're not all going to develop at the same kind of pace. They're not all going to develop completely their skills in 2 years in the league. Some of them will take a little bit longer than that. Believe it or not, guys, some of them won't figure it out at all. That is real. There are guys who are drafted every year who don't work in the National Football League. So the possibility of there being somebody on this roster that everybody is relying on right now, and I'm not going to name names, but everybody is counting on them to take those big steps forward here in the next year or two, odds are there is a handful of those guys that aren't going to do that. It's not going to happen for them. But if they all do, then yeah, this is a team that's capable of taking that giant step forward in 2015. I think if the majority of them do that in 2015, led by Blake Bortles, that this is a football team that has a real chance to drastically improve that win-loss column, right? This is a team that has won 3 and 4 games in the last couple years. I think 7-9, 8-8 is a real possibility if Blake Bortles is developing on the kind of trajectory that I expect him to develop. That's my expectation for Blake Bortles, right? Is to be a quarterback that is good enough for this team to win 7 or 8 games in 2015. Does that mean that's definitely what he's going to beat? No. No. It's look, everyone develops at a different pace. And the development of Blake Bortles is to be seen. I mean, it's out there to be seen. It's a big question for all of us. I've already gotten a couple responses talking about Blake Bortles as something that they want to see coming out of OTAs. And I completely agree with you. I think it's the biggest story for the Jacksonville Jaguars right now is the development of Blake Bortles, because that's the timer in the end on Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. We said it when they drafted him last year. That's it. Like, Blake Bortles works out or these guys are gone. And while Blake statistically wasn't great last year, you felt good enough about big portions of football games that you saw him play that you think it's there. Like, what you thought you saw in preseason last year, it showed up in the regular season, not in the big bits that you would like it to. It obviously didn't show up in the win-loss column for this football team, but you saw some of that development for somebody that the Jaguars were committed to, if they could, not even having him on the field and letting him have a whole year to figure out the footwork and everything else mechanically that he needs to work on. Well, he got to learn on the field, right? He got to learn in the fire, and I think in the end that can only pay dividends for this football team. But that's certainly one of the big storylines for a team that needs to be not just more competitive this year. They need to win some football games this year. They've won 7 under Bradley and Caldwell. It's been well documented. I expect 7 this year alone. That would be my expectation for this football team. It really begins today with OTAs getting started. They may not be in pads, but it really gets started today when the rookies and veterans get thrown on that field together out there on the practice field right now. They'll be out there for about another hour, hour and 15 minutes. Again, we hope to catch up with a player or coach at the end of practice today here on Jaguars Today. John Osher will be joining me here in studio in just a moment. We'll talk about some of the stories that he's looking for out there at Jaguars OTAs as they get started this week. I'm Fat Tony. Mike Dempsey out playing Sawgrass. He'll be back with us tomorrow. We'll get into the Jaguars OTAs. John Osher joins me in studio next here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Rolling along here on a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, he's out on the golf course. He'll be back with us tomorrow here on Jaguars Today. I'm Fat Tony, joined right now by John Osher, who stepped in from outside where Jaguars OTAs are underway. They're almost an hour into this thing in 2015, John.
Yeah, they're deep in. And on another note, the piano in the intro made me think, I heard Sister Christian coming in today. That's a song that doesn't get enough credit.
That's a Martino song.
It really is.
That's
really
a Martino song. He, we used to do the top fives with him. He did a show with Mike and I for a year and a half, right? In the afternoons, and we would do a top five every Friday. And it didn't matter what music thing we were talking about, Sister Christian somehow came
up. He has a very, very limited pop culture reference base.
Yeah.
Say that about
him. No doubt about it. So I know we can't talk a whole lot about what's going on out at practice, but the boys are out there. It's time to get things rolling again here in 2015.
They are out there, and it's basically what you'd expect. It's a lot of shorts. There's some teamwork they're going to be allowed to do, and it's going to be basically the same thing the next 4 weeks. You know, the mini camp at the end of the month, the mandatory mini camp, which I expect one to be open at some point during that. It's a time for these guys to get ready, to put in the offense, and to try to do it with as little contact and injury risk as possible.
Yeah, and look, that's the most important part of this whole thing. Look,
right.
The Jaguars have already felt the wrath of the injury bug here early, and you hope that that's the last of it, at least significant injuries from here through the end of the – there's going to be some twisted ankles.
Sure.
That kind of it happens whenever you're out there doing this kind of thing, but you hope that Dante Fowler is the only one that you lose during this time of the year after you've already lost them. There's nothing to be done about it now. But some of the other storylines coming out of this thing, I mean, I know for me, I'm really curious to see what T.J. Yeldon looks like, especially with how much better he looked than anybody out there at the rookie camp, but he should.
Right.
I mean, that's a place where T.J. Yeldon should shine at a rookie mini camp. Can he do the same thing, granted without pads, but against the veterans that are going to be playing real NFL defense?
I'd be surprised if he doesn't shine, because he seems to have the tools. What's the best way to put it? He is a guy who is impressive to watch with some of the skills that he has physically, meaning the quick feet, the acceleration. He is very smooth to watch, which translates well to looking good in a situation like that. You would think, being a second-round pick and his production, and that it'll translate to the field as well. But for people who haven't seen him a whole lot, I expect even when he gets on the field, for him to be I hate to use the word pretty, but he is an enjoyable player to watch, because he looks like the kind of guy who makes certain things look easy that aren't, meaning the acceleration, the cutting. So I expect him to look very good, but I also expect him to have a very good year next year. I expect him to maybe be the most statistically productive off-season acquisition. Now, that's not saying that Jared Odrick and maybe Julius Thomas fits in that, but I would expect that Yeldon would have the biggest productivity of any of the offseason acquisitions, because they expect to be a better line, they expect to run, all the things are going to play to his favor to be that.
No, they certainly are, and sticking with the offensive side of the ball, obviously the key cog in everything that the Jaguars have done, with all that they've done in this offseason, it's about Blake Bortles from year one to year two and that transition. And we know that he's put in the work here in the offseason. And it's one of the things that I like most about Blake is it doesn't feel like lip service when he talks about how much he likes the game and likes keeping his head in it, likes working out, likes getting himself ready. I think that part of it is very real for Blake Bortles. Watching it translate over the course of the next 3-4 months into the regular season is going to be one of the big storylines of this offseason.
Here's a news flash. The editorial, the main story today will be Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
And guess what? in 4 weeks, I'll probably write another one on Blake Bortles. And when training camp opens, because you can't write it enough. And any small development, anything that he says or others say about that fundamental development is very important. At the same time, it's a reality that as good as he looks now, you would be disappointed if you didn't see him look pretty solid fundamentally for the next few weeks, a few months. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect, but you would expect to have seen improvement because you saw some things early on last year that he had worked on that held. What I think he would tell you is what he's going after is to get some of the things right where they're muscle memory on a more permanent basis, where they last past week 4 or 5, when stuff starts kind of flying around him, when he's worried on, not worried, but when he's concentrating on Wednesday and Thursday in week 5 on the game plan, in week 5 on Sunday, the fundamentals are still there because he doesn't have to think about it quite as much. He doesn't have to have it drilled into him. So I think that's what the process is during this offseason and maybe for the rest of his career, because it's true with any quarterback. You're always looking to maintain those fundamentals that you honed during the offseason all the way through the regular season. The longer he can make those last, the better for him and the organization.
No doubt about it. I mean, I can remember, man, that rookie minicamp last year, being out there and watching Blake, and I can remember a handful of deep throws, but I remember one in particular, and we've talked about it before, yep, where it just came out fluttering, and it was 5 yards short, and you look at everybody, all of us are looking at each other on the sideline going, ooh,
yeah,
that's a number three pick.
Right.
Okay.
At the same time, he also showed, you know,
he improved a lot.
This is where he is right now. He's got it in him. He knows that the things that you just mentioned, which, again, he was working on some stuff last year, remember, sort of on the fly. It was a rough draft.
Yeah.
You would expect to see less of that. You would hope to see less of that. And I think, again, the important thing about him, as you said earlier, with him, it's not lip service. It's a case where he knows what he's got to work on. He feels like he's improved on it. And now a lot of what he's doing is having those hold while the important task of him and the rest of this team installing this offense, learning it, getting that down to as much muscle memory as possible takes place, which is why I think the next, you know, 4 weeks and even in a training camp are so important for this team. This is a new offense, and this is the time to learn it.
No, that's what it's about. It's about installing this offense. It's the first time that they've all been on the field together to install this offense.
Yep.
They've had a playbook. They've been able to talk about it a little bit here over the last month or so, but this is the first time they're going to be on field and really installing some of the things that Olsen wants to see in this thing. I'm asking today on the fan feedback spotlight, basically, the fans just asking, you know, what are the big players? Is there a player that you're watching? Is there a storyline that you're watching going throughout OTAs this offseason? And it's funny, I've probably gotten 20, 25 responses thus far. Nobody has mentioned Julius Thomas yet. And he was really the crown jewel of free agency for this team.
Probably mostly Blake and Yeldon, I assume.
Right. A lot of Allen Robinson coming off that injury.
Right.
What's the offensive line going to look like, which we're not going to be able to tell much during OTAs because they're not going to be in pads.
Right.
And I can't tell anything from those guys until they get in pads.
No, nobody can. And, you know, when you're writing on something like this, you write, okay, what are the big storylines going in? Well, obviously, 1 and 1A on this team is Bortles and the offensive line. I mean, that's what has to improve. Bortles is the storyline for OTAs because there's very little you're going to know. First of all, the center competition won't really heat up until training camp because Wisniewski won't be back. Mm-hmm. But even so, I expect A.J. Cann and Zane Beatles to be a competition. You want to see what's better about Luke Jokel. You want to see Jeremy Parnell. But you're not going to see that until the pads go on in August. So you can talk about the offensive line being a storyline, but when I write my what we learned for Jaguars.com at the end of each week, there's not going to be too much to learn about the offensive line because it's sort of just them trying to absorb things and get ready for the really important time, which is August in training camp.
Sure. But where it is going to be important, I think, here in OTAs, when you talk about the other side of the ball, I feel pretty good about what they have on the defensive line. It's basically the same group they had last year. You're just putting Audric in there. So we don't know what Cindric Marks is going to be. That's a question going into camp and going into the beginning of the season.
Right. They think that's a significant upgrade, by the way, the one that you just sort of glossed
Audric,
over, Audric.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's it.
But not something, again, with OTAs, we're going to tell a whole lot
right.
about it. I think what you can see out there a little bit this time of year is that linebacker group and exactly what they look like, especially in coverage. We know Telvin Smith is pretty good at that,
right?
And that he gives them an option there. Skuda, it's the first time we're going to be able to see him, and Paul Posluszny back there in the middle of that defense as well. But the depth behind them is a big question mark, and what are some of these guys who they brought in as undrafted free agents, what do they look like? Can they earn themselves at least a potential roster spot?
Right.
And for them, it really does start today. They're trying to earn themselves a job.
I expect them to look good because it's a young group. It's an athletic group. Most of those guys can run. I think where they, sort of like the offensive line, where they'll be tested is when the pads come on. I mean, a lot of those guys can run. Can they do all the things that make the difference when the lights go on between a 3-yard run and a 5-yard run? That's where these linebackers really have to improve.
No, they do. The big thing that I think you can watch out there is what's it going to look like with the safeties.
Absolutely.
And who's playing where and how much are they playing in those spots and what do they look like? Because there's – look, Cyprian's probably the strong safety. I'm guessing Cyprian's probably the strong safety for this team, and it's three guys fighting for those other spots.
Right.
And who can be the starter of free safety? Sample obviously may have a leg up because he's the draft pick coming in here.
I think I can say this without it being interpreted as reporting on practice.
Hmm.
James Sample is an impressive looking player.
Yes, he is.
Now I'm not saying that I saw him running well. I'm saying I saw him when he's just warming up. He is a big, physical, impressive-looking kid. If he can play as well as he looks, huge if, then it could be impressive. So who knows? But with his physical size, if he can go sideline to sideline, he's a dangerous free safety.
Yeah, I got out here for the Saturday of the rookie minicamp a couple weeks ago, and, you know, he was facing me, so I couldn't see a name or anything. I'm like, who is that dude?
He's a guy That's a great way to put it. He is a guy, when you see it, that if you go out to practice and you ask somebody who's never seen anybody and knows nothing about the names, who are the good players? He looks the part.
Anything else you want to hit on as we go into OTA, some of the big storylines coming in?
I think just the secondary. I mean, this is a group that we're pretty sure McCray, you know, House, Colvin are the three with Gratz as the backup to both, but that's a young group that I don't think any of those guys are so far ahead of the others in any particular way that any of that's nailed down. I expect the starters to be who everybody expects, which is House and McCray, but these are four pretty good players who have all shown. Dwayne Gratz has started in this league and has looked good at times. If he comes in and plays well, who knows what happens? So I think that's an interesting spot to watch.
No, for me, if I was out there at OTAs, and I'm not going to be able to because they're running them head-to-head with Jaguars today, so I don't get the chance to go out
there. That's the reasoning, too.
Yeah, but I would. I know it is. They were tired of me showing up at practices. But look, I'm like everybody else, the casual fan out there. I know a little bit about the X's and O's of football, right? But in general, I'm watching this guy run and this guy cover.
Right.
Like, those are the things
that
you notice.
And that's what OTAs is. I mean, you notice passes getting batted down. You notice nice catches. And, you know, it's a neat OTAs in that sense because what everybody's looking at is Bortles. And OTAs are where you can where you can watch a quarterback. You can watch accuracy. You can watch how he's looking. There's a limit to how much we can really report on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure people will be talking about it. So it'll be an interesting time to watch this team.
We'll let you get back out there. I know the team portion of practice probably – getting started about right now with about an hour
left. Looking
forward
to getting out of this air conditioning.
And get back out there in the heat. What do you have coming up on Jaguars.com this week?
I'll be writing about Blake today, and I will be writing a lot of takeaways this week, which is just trying to get caught up. And there's a lot of storylines, so we'll be covering a lot of them throughout the week. And basically listen to what Gus and the players have to say about this. This is an interesting time in that it's not training camp, but in this day and age, it's really 1A in terms of training camp. It's an important time, and it's when these guys can sort of set their storylines going forward for the season.
All right. He's John Osher, Jaguars.com senior writer, heading back out to practice. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, John.
All right, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Johnny. Yo, I will be joined by John Harris coming up next as we'll take our trip out to Houston where they're not having their OTAs because of all the flooding. But we'll take a look at the Houston Texans and what they've done here during this offseason as they get ready for a 2015 campaign. J.J. Watt, talking to you, Doom, the most dominant player in the National Football League. We'll get an update on what's going on out in Houston as we start our look around the AFC South here on Jaguars. Hey, John Harris from Houston joining me next here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I assume, Tyler, that you're playing this music not because of the guest we're having, but because of the player that he covers. Am I correct in that assumption, Tyler?
You would be correct.
All right. That music, J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans up first on our look around the AFC South this week. Look, the Jaguars have finished up their free agency and draft. We want to take a look at what some of the other teams have done, how they feel about their football teams going into 2015 as well. John Harris, who joined us for the media mock draft a few weeks ago, the sideline reporter for the Houston Texans at J. Harris Football on Twitter, joining us now to talk a little bit about the Houston Texans. John, are you safe and dry there in Houston, wherever you are?
Man, I tell you what, I've lived in North Carolina and Jacksonville for a while, and now in Houston, so I've seen some weather. I've been through hurricanes, and I've been through tornadoes. I've been through everything, but man, last night was crazy. We got about 8 inches of rain in about 2 to 2.5 hours, and it just a rain spell just stopped on Houston, just dumped on us. And some of the pictures from throughout Houston, and this isn't the entire city like it was in New Orleans, but when Katrina hit, you saw some of those pictures from up above of the flooding. There are certain sections of Houston that look like that. Luckily, I was able to swim out from my place today. And it's not too bad where I am right now, but we're expecting more rain, which can make the rest of the week pretty scary.
Yeah, it certainly could. I know the beginning of OTAs for the Texans, it was supposed to be today, but they've obviously canceled the beginning of those, and whether they get made up or not, who knows. But, yeah, scary situation for the people out there in Houston. I did see Arian Foster just here in the last 15 minutes or so, and as you know, if you follow him on Twitter, he'll speak his mind about whatever's going on. I did see him tweet something about the funniest part of this whole thing to him is that it's trash day in his neighborhood. So he watched his neighbors go through knee-deep water to bring their trash to the curb last night. So,
you know, it's funny because I put my trash out about an hour before everything started, and that was kind of our measuring point for last night. I put it out by the curb, and that was sort of our measuring point. My wife and I would look out there, and we saw the water rise, like, oh, it's about, you know, 6 inches up on the trash can. Oh, now it's, you know, a couple more inches up. Oh, man, it's past the wheel of the trash can. So that was kind of our measuring stick for last night, was the trash can that we had sitting out on our front sidewalk.
Unreal. Unreal, the weather out there. Stay safe, John, and hopefully everybody out there in Houston staying safe as well. It's a dangerous weather situation. Hopefully that rain avoid you guys and you can get it dried up and back to life as usual. John Harris joining us to talk a little bit about the Houston Texans. Let's get into the football side of things. I know one of the big losses for the Texans this offseason, and it was a developing story once you guys hit the offseason, was Andre Johnson. Will he or won't he be a part of the Houston Texans for the next year or two? Obviously, he decided he wanted to be traded, released, however he was going to get out of Houston. He did. He's up there in Indianapolis now. How have the Houston Texans gone about replacing the production of a player like Andre Johnson?
Well, I talked to Bill O'Brien the other day about it, and he had a great thought. He said, look, you don't really replace a guy that is that good. He's one of the greats in the NFL. And I liken it a lot of times to what, you know, the impact that Jimmy Smith had there in Jacksonville when Jimmy and Keenan were together, and I was there during that time. That was such a special time. And you don't really replace a guy like that, but you've got to find a way to distribute the target. So they went out and they got Cecil Shorts, who you know, you guys know very, very well. And we're glad he's in Houston. We know that it was probably a good break for everybody, Jacksonville for Cecil, et cetera. Nate Washington they got from Tennessee. And look, we don't know how much he's got left in his legs, but he didn't get a huge amount of money or guaranteed money. So if he doesn't pan out, you're not hamstrung financially. And then in the draft, they somehow in the third round were able to trade up and get Jalen Strong. And I don't know how Jalen got to the third round. And, you know, I know his wrist was an issue, and some people thought, well, you know, he doesn't separate from guys that much. But he's 6'2", he's 220. He wins a lot of 50-50 contested balls. So you have those three receivers, and then you throw in the tight ends where there was literally no production from them last year. And if they can take a step up, you know they're going to see some of those targets. And then you mentioned Arian Foster a little while ago. I have said this many times that last year when Andre Johnson was not out there for OTAs, I said the second best receiver out here outside of DeAndre Hopkins was Arian Foster. So you've got to use him in the passing game as well. So with Foster, with the tight end, with those three guys now added to the wide receiving core, I think you've got enough guys that you can distribute the targets. And the one thing I know Bill O'Brien was not all that pleased with Andre about was his inability to get down the field. And they just felt like teams could throw a blanket over the wide receiver core because DeAndre is not that fast on one side. And Andre was losing his speed on the other seemingly or had lost a step. He doesn't think so, but it was pretty clear that teams just didn't believe he could beat them deep. So with that thought, they had to get a little bit faster at the position. And I think with one of those three guys, with Nate, with Cecil, or with Jalen, or all of them, they feel like they've got a guy that can at least press defenses downfield and really at least have a vertical threat that they didn't have with Andre Johnson.
That covers all the skill positions there on the offensive side of the ball, except for the most important one, and that would be quarterback. Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, Tom Savage, the three guys on the depth chart right now. How do you think that whole thing's going to shake out?
You know, I really think it's going to be Ryan Mallett. But in all honesty, it's funny because somebody asked me this question the other day. They said, other than quarterback, all the other positions are pretty well set. And I guess that's probably true or close to true. But, yeah, the quarterback needs to be settled. And you look at other places. I mean, obviously, you guys in Jacksonville, you know Blake's going to be the quarterback for a while. And one of these guys I think will be the quarterback for the next 4 or 5 years. I think it's Ryan Mallett. The good thing for both guys is they know this offense backwards and forwards. And obviously, you know, Brian Hoyer's got to, you know, leave that Cleveland stuff behind, but he jumped right in. He said it was just like getting back on a bike, relearning this offense. But they're in an advanced stage in this offense, and that was something that Ryan Fitzpatrick was not. He was not at an advanced stage in this offense. And so when Mallett took over in Cleveland, of course it was only for one game, but when Mallett took over in Cleveland, you really could tell that he had command of the offense, and he was actually correcting the offensive line when it came to pass protections and what they were supposed to do. So he had a full command of the offense, and that was not something Fitzpatrick had. So I think the offense in Ryan Mallett's hands could go to a different level, and it could go to a different level of complexity too. So I expect it to be Mallett, but if it's Hoyer, you know, I'm not going to be terribly disappointed, but I think if it ends up being Hoyer, I imagine they'll look for one of the quarterbacks in the 2016 NFL draft.
Switching gears to the defensive side of the ball as we talk with John Harris, sideline reporter for the Houston Texans, at J. Harris Football on Twitter, talking a little bit about some of the AFC South opponents this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Talking about the defensive side of the ball, look, we all know how great J.J. Watt is. They brought in Jadeveon Clowney in the first round last year. They basically got nothing from him. Where is he in his recovery process? Do they feel like he's going to be ready to go for 2015?
Well, the city of Houston is, I think, negative by nature, and I guess it happens over the years when you lose a 32-point lead up in Buffalo and you blow that game, and you know, Joe Montana comes to your house and you lose your team. I mean, it's kind of a crisis of confidence in the city in some sense. So when J.D. went down last year, I think there was this pall of negativity over the city that, oh, he's a bust, he's never coming back. And then you start hearing from the team and from Bill, and I talked to Bill formally and informally, and he has said, I think J.D. is going to be ready, and I think that's going to be huge for this defense if he can at least get to some semblance of what he was at South Carolina, because now you've added Vince Wilfork. I think Jared Crick at defensive end was probably the most improved player the team had on offense or defense at the back half of 2014. So I think you throw Crick in the mix with Wilfork and Clowney and Merciless is re-signed and Watt, and then you drop an Ardrick McKinney. alongside Cushing, and he's finally healthy for the first time in a few years. So you got front seven that I think can be pretty salty going forward. It's going to have to be to face the three quarterbacks they're going to have to face. But getting Clowney back at some level and getting his confidence back, that's going to be one of the big keys. I think his confidence, obviously, when he got hurt, that really started to erode. I think with his rehab and how fast it's actually coming along, he's ahead of schedule. And I think that's a good thing that people now look at it and think, okay, he can be ready for 2015, where some people actually thought you're going to punt 2015 and get him ready for 2016. But there's actually thought he can be ready for the beginning of 2015, and that would be a huge victory for him and his team.
Just a few moments left here with you, John, but you mentioned Vince Wilfork. Just how much of an addition, how big is that pickup for the Houston Texans, do they think, to be able to put him on that line next to J.J.?
You know, it's interesting. Up until last year when they had Ryan Grease Pickett, they never really had fat. They just really, for a city that prides itself on food and being fat, they never had fat on the defense. And I mean that in the nicest way. I mean, Vince is big bone, and they're going to need it. And they're not bringing back Ryan Pickett, but they needed somebody in the middle of that line that really could two-gap over the center. And even at times one-gap with the scheme that Romeo Crennel runs. But Vince is great because he can move up and down the line, which he did in New England. I think Romeo will do that to kind of move him around. But, you know, look, he's not the Vince of old. He'll play 30 snaps, and that's what he wants to do. If they max it out, man, he is perfect. And then in the locker room, just the leadership that he brings from New England is massive. And that was probably the number one reason why Bill O'Brien wanted him here in Houston.
All right, John, appreciate it so much. Stay safe there in Houston, and at least try to stay dry here over the next couple days as the city continues to recover from some pretty horrible storms. Thank you, John. I'm sure we'll talk to you again before the season gets rolling.
You got it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's John Harris. He's the sideline reporter for the Houston Texans at JHarrisFootball on Twitter if you want to give him a follow. We will continue to bounce around the AFC South throughout the rest of the week. We'll hit another spot tomorrow and then again on Thursday here on Jaguars Today. We got this date in football history, the Honda Drive around the NFL coming up next. I'm Fat Tony. Mike Dempsey out today. He's playing golf as the Jaguars get OTA started. Hopeful to be catching up with a player or coach in the last half hour of the show today. So we'll keep you posted on that if we hear anything else about it. But this date in football history, the Honda Drive around the NFL, up next as we roll along here on a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by Dr. James J. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. This date in football history, it is May 26th. On this date, 1939, Brent Musburger, born sportscaster. He's done some NFL, more known for his work with the college football game now. But Brent Musburger, born this date in 1939. Greg Lloyd, the NFL linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers, also born this date. And that was 1965, Greg Lloyd was born. So 50 years old today as he turns the corner on his life. Five-time Pro Bowler, three-time First Team All-Pro for Greg Lloyd. That is this date in football history brought to you today by Dr. James J. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive around the NFL brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, over the weekend, about 150 angry Patriots fans protested the four-game suspension of their quarterback, Tom Brady, right outside of Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. Still no decision on the Brady appeal. But two people familiar with the situation tell the Associated Press that the appeal won't be heard by Wednesday's 10-day deadline, which is set by the collective bargaining agreement. OTAs for the Vikings begin today, and the plan for disgruntled running back Adrian Peterson is to be back home in Texas, that according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Some bonus money at stake for Peterson if he's there for 90% of the OTAs. He gets a nice fat check for $250,000, so he could be missing out on that. He wants a trade out of Minnesota. And finally, another arrest for Ray McDonald. Oh, man. He was arrested early Monday morning on misdemeanor domestic violence charges as well as child endangerment charges. According to the police report, the child endangerment charges apparently stems from Ray attacking the mother, his ex-fiance, while she was holding a baby. The Bears released McDonald within hours. Tony, that is a terrible story.
No, it's a terrible story, and apparently it's the same young lady that he was at one time accused of striking while she was still pregnant with the child, and those charges got dropped at some point in time. And after another arrest last year with San Francisco, the 49ers said, we can't take it anymore. They dropped them. The Chicago Bears picked them up, and the story is what it is coming out of this weekend, and it's a terrible story if it turns out to be true. The Bears have already released Ray McDonald, and look, you don't know these guys. You know, as much as you think you do, you don't know these guys and what's going on with them behind closed doors. And there has to be a standard. Everyone could set their own for what they're willing to deal with from athletes and NFL players. You know, if you're a guy who's willing to sign a guy like Ray McDonald this offseason, despite the accusations that he had been facing, and now the Chicago Bears are dealing with those consequences, it's an embarrassment for the Bears, but really nothing more beyond that, because he's not really their guy, but they, in a way, stood behind him and decided to sign him this offseason. Now, obviously, they're dealing with the consequences of his latest actions, and we'll see how this thing plays out in court and just how toxic he is to the rest of the NFL now. I can't imagine right now him playing football, at least early on in 2015, until all of this gets sorted out. And I would think the league would be taking a hard look at what's going on with Ray McDonald as well, that even if nothing else happens, probably going to be looking at some kind of suspension would be my guess. And you mentioned the Patriots deal with the Tom Brady appeal. I do want to make it clear, because I think this is the way this is working. The appeal date for the hearing has to be set within 10 days. I think the date of the appeal has to be set within 10 days, and the deadline for that is Wednesday, I do believe, between the two sides. Goodell, and look, they do this all the time. Friday at 4:30 or 5 o'clock is that information dump time of the week, right? Like, that's when whatever information these big leagues want, especially the NFL, if they just don't want it to be a part of a news cycle, but they put it out there right at the end of the news cycle in the week. No one's really paying attention to it on the weekend. So they especially a holiday weekend like this where everyone's got 3 days off and they're not really going back to work until Tuesday. The league announced late on Friday that Roger Goodell is not planning on giving up his right to hear this appeal from Tom Brady. So Roger Goodell is going to hear the appeal. The Players Association obviously upset about that because they wanted somebody besides Roger to hear this thing. They're saying that they plan on calling Roger Goodell as a witness because he passed off the punishment to Troy Vincent in this particular case. And they think that that's against the, that violates the CBA, that it has to come from Roger Goodell. So they want to call him as a witness, which means they don't think he should be able to preside. Roger Goodell said on Friday, at least, that he's going to preside over this appeal hearing for Tom Brady. They have 10 days from the time that the appeal is put in motion to decide on a date. And from what I read on Pro Football Talk this morning, right, that the idea that they haven't come to an agreement on a date for this thing yet tells you that both sides are kind of okay with not having that yet. If you believe what Roger Goodell said last week, right, that he hadn't thought about the Tom Brady appeal, which, does anybody really believe that as of last week, Roger Goodell wasn't even thinking about the Tom Brady appeal to come, that he was so focused on the owners' meetings and extra points that he hadn't thought about accusing a four-time Super Bowl champion of cheating, essentially? Like, the idea of, I may have to make a decision on that at some point, hadn't crossed his mind, he hadn't thought about it? Come on, man. Nobody believes that story from Roger Goodell, but he came out on Friday and said he's going to hear the appeal, so it's going to stay with him, and it remains to be seen. Everyone talking about last week with Bob Kraft coming out and saying that they're not going to fight the punishments for the team. Tom Brady's deal is a separate deal, but that everyone was like, hey, what about a backroom deal between the Patriots and Commissioner Goodell about what's going to go on with Tom Brady? We'll see. Right? I mean, we'll see. I don't know. The majority of fans, it feels like, that I've talked to, and from what I've read online, it feels like the majority of NFL fans want to see Tom Brady punished for this whole Deflategate deal. There's a group of fans out there who think the whole thing is ridiculous. I agree with you. It's ridiculous, but I do want to see Tom Brady punished in the end for what's going on up there in New England. I don't know how much I want to see him punished. I thought four games felt about right to me from the very beginning. I would like to see Roger Goodell stick by his guns on this whole thing when everything is said and done. It's a gigantic story. And look, again, to put it as simply as I possibly can, Deflategate isn't so much anymore about the level of inflation in those footballs. To me, this is now the NFL has handed down a punishment that says Tom Brady, one of the faces of the NFL, one of the captains of our sport, one of the guys that we put forward, a guy who talks about integrity virtually every time he goes to that podium, we have accused him and found him guilty of cheating. That is what the NFL is saying. A four-time poster boy champion for the National Football League on the most powerful team in the last 15 years of NFL football, the captain of that, the leader of that, they have said cheated. That is a gigantic story.
I would never do anything outside of the rules of play.
Right. Sure, Tom. Sure, you wouldn't do anything outside of the rules of play. We know Bill Belichick will. Tom Brady, this is the first time that he's been caught up in all this kind of mess with the New England Patriots, and we'll see how the whole thing works out, but Roger Goodell, at least for now, going to keep hold of it. And the appeal was supposed to be set within 10 days, at least the date of the thing. Hasn't been set yet. I think the Players Association is willing to delay it if they think that might give them an opportunity to get somebody besides Roger Goodell to hear this thing. But right now it sounds like Roger Goodell is going to. That is your Deflategate moment of the day. If there is any more news on it that comes out here in the next 24 hours, of course, Mike and I will hit on that tomorrow. But yeah, you're right, Tyler. The whole Ray McDonald thing, I mean...
Would you ban him for life now, or what would be your decision if you were Roger Goodell?
If it's me, right, I was having a conversation about this after I did some, I hosted trivia out at Cole Haynes on Sunday night, and afterwards I'm talking to a bunch of the guys that have played, sitting in the bar, we're watching the NBA game, we're watching the Stanley Cup with the Lightning going on, I'm watching out of the corner of my eye Vanderbilt get smacked down by Florida in the SEC championship game, so I'm watching all that, we're talking about everything that's going on, and we somehow end up on the New England Patriots and a column that we had read talking about whether or not, you know, we want to see them play Tom Brady in week three. I was like, no, I don't want to see the Jaguars have to play Tom Brady. It's the NFL. There are no power rankings, right? You don't feel any better about a win or loss at the end of the year based on whoever you played. It's just you win as many games as you possibly can. The Jaguars have a better chance of winning that game if Tom Brady isn't playing. And some drunk girl that apparently could hear us in the bathroom came out. We don't know her from Eve, right? I have no idea who this girl is, and starts going in about Tom Brady. And apparently she was from the Boston area and felt like she needed to defend him. We were like, we weren't saying anything about Tom, but we got into a conversation with her about Tom Brady. And I said, look, I don't want to equate anything that Brady did to what's been going on with Ray Rice or any of the other, you know, domestic abusers around the National Football League. I said, look, if it was up to me, right, I don't know what Roger Goodell is going to do, but if it was up to me, Greg Hardy wouldn't be in the NFL. I wouldn't have him around the NFL. Ray Rice wouldn't be a part of the NFL. I wouldn't have them there. Ray McDonald, done. Done. I would have been tempted to have him be done. For me personally, in my head, he's done after the first one. That's enough for me. I don't need to see these guys hit a woman two or three times before I say, no, that's enough, pal. One time is more than enough for me. Now, that's not the way the NFL is set up. It's not the way the rules are set up. And I know a lot of people out there may not necessarily agree with that. I'm telling you what I would do if I had the power to do it. Now, the Players Association is not going to ever bow down to that kind of thing. They're not going to bend to that kind of thing. But no, I wouldn't have Hardy or Rice or Ray McDonald be a part of the league. I wouldn't. You lay your hands on your woman, you're done.
By the way, Tony, that's Ray McDonald's fifth arrest for domestic violence.
Yeah, that's five too many.
Wow.
Five too many, and it's four too many for him to still be involved and around the league. Look, it's just, you put your hands on a woman, you've made your decision. That's how I feel about it. You put your hands on a woman, you've made your decision about what you think your future is going to be. The NFL, they keep telling me that it's a privilege, right? Well, apparently it's not just a privilege. It's one that they keep extending opportunities as a privilege to people who continue to lay their hands on women. And I disagree with it about as strongly as I possibly can. If it was up to me, they'd be out of the league after the first one. I'm not even three strikes and you're out on this type of thing. I don't want that to be anywhere near the game, but that's not where we're at with this whole thing. Ray McDonald, we'll see again how toxic he is to the rest of the teams around the league right now as he goes forward, but has been released by the Chicago Bears, and they're trying to figure out what they're going to do, not only with that position, but with the PR hit that they're taking for having signed Ray McDonald, knowing about the previous four arrests for domestic violence. So obviously a story that we'll continue to follow, as it's been a hot topic in the National Football League here for the last year or so after the Ray Rice video last offseason. So that's something that we'll obviously continue to follow. The fan feedback spotlight, we're going to get to it a little bit early in today's show because, again, we're hoping to be able to catch up with a player or coach from out on the practice field coming right inside here. We'll catch them before they even cool off, hopefully at the end of the show today, and that's usually when we get to the fan feedback spotlight, your answers to that. So we'll do that here in just a couple of moments. If you want to get your answer in, you can. The question today we're asking you, Jaguars fans, simply, with OTAs getting started today for the Jacksonville Jaguars, outside of health, outside of everyone coming out of this thing completely 100% healthy, what is the biggest storyline or player you have your eye on for the Jaguars and OTAs for the next month or so? You can let us know at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. Also on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Jaguars Today. We'll get some of your responses to that question here in just a moment as we roll along here on a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Thanks for joining me here on a Tuesday, Jaguars Today. Hopeful to catch up with somebody coming off the practice field. The Jaguars at OTAs, their first one today. So hopefully going to catch up with a player coach coming off the field here in the next 15, 20 minutes or so. Talk to them a little bit about how the offseason has gone. We'll see who we can get. I know I talked to Tad Dickman before the show, and he said that that's the plan at least. So we'll see what happens here in the next 20 minutes or so. With that in mind, though, going to get to the fan feedback spotlight a little bit early today to your responses to that question we ask you every day. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships ask fans, what drives you? Today, we're asking Jaguars fans, with OTAs getting started, outside of the health of this football team coming out of them, what is the player, who is the player or the storyline that you have your eyes on coming into OTAs and watching it develop over the course of the next month? Some of the responses we got today from Nick: the progression of Blake Bortles and the chemistry with the young offense. I've got a feeling we're probably going to get a lot of Blake Bortles with this one. From Hardy Brothers: which players are out of shape? You'll be able to probably tell that, especially with the heat out there over the next couple weeks. From David: for me, the strategy and development of our offensive line is the most intriguing storyline. From Demetrius: I'd like to see how Luke Jokel responds following his first real offseason. From Matthew: has our offensive line changed enough to give full evaluation to a quarterback playing behind them? From Eric: how does TJ Yeldon look? Is Bortles getting the new system and overall speed of the team? From AG Jagfan: how does Blake Bortles' mechanics look throwing the ball? Do the easy throws look easy? From Daniel: Robinson's recovery, I assume that would be Allen, and being ready to go, can he be Bortles' go-to receiver? From Cristiano: the quarterback, it's all about the quarterback. And from Paolo: I am interested on seeing if D-Rob improved as much as he improved last year. I'm not sure he can improve as much as he did last year. From Irish Jaguar: has Blake actually made the step forward we're all hoping he has? And from Will: developing quality depth. And look, the depth is going to be there or it's not. I think that they've added, I feel as good about the offensive line as I have in years here in Jacksonville, that they have three or four guys that I feel good about behind the starters on this offensive line, that they have two positions where there's a wide open battle for the spot at the center and left guard, I feel like is a good thing. Tyler Pastore being moved, that not only can he effectively play right tackle for you, which he still can, but gives you a guy that can swing inside the guard if you are having some injury problems. They haven't been in that position before. With Jeremy Parnell coming in, again, that guy, I loved watching him at Dallas. I know it's a really limited sample size, but going back and watching what he did at Dallas, and I go back to that last play of that playoff game against Detroit where I saw him punch a guy twice on the same play, the last offensive snap for the Dallas Cowboys in that game. So impressed by what I saw from Jeremy Parnell. Seems like a really aggressive player. You can see the athleticism of a guy who used to play basketball. So that offensive line, I feel about as good about it as I have in a long time. The secondary, as we talked with John Osher a little while ago, is still a big question mark coming into this season. There's one new face among the corners with Devon House coming in. He's getting paid like a starter. Does he look like that as we get into the offseason starting today? We'll find out as OTA is going right now. They should be wrapping up here in the next couple minutes would be my guess. But how does Devon House look as a new member of this secondary? Aaron Colvin's a guy that I think they love there in the slot because of the athleticism that he has. His quickness is something that they really like there in the slot as the third corner. And that means that basically in the NFL today, you are a starter if you're a third corner because teams play so many three and four wide receiver sets in today's NFL that you're going to be on the field a lot. The development of the safety group in this team is going to be crucial. Jonathan Cyprian, who had all kinds of expectations on him coming into his rookie season, he's now going into his third year, and I think we're all kind of waiting to see that big step forward from Jonathan Cyprian. We talked to different guys here on Jaguars today throughout the week. I know Ryan O'Halloran, who can be a bit of a curmudgeon at times, and he calls himself that at times too, but I agree with him when you talk about looking for Jonathan Cyprian and to make a play. Like, you just haven't seen much of that, and certainly not nearly enough of it for a guy that was as talked about the way that he was coming into this team. So he's going to be at strong safety. Do they have enough next to him at free safety to free him up to be what they want Jonathan Cyprian to potentially be in this defense, which is basically that eighth guy in the box for you, another linebacker that can help you against the run game? They've been better against the tight end last year. They were better against the tight end. I think part of that is with Jonathan Cyprian and the impact he had, but they still weren't good enough against opposing tight ends to feel good about it. And what's going to go on with that free safety spot? Because the team likes Josh Evans. I know the team likes Josh Evans and what he brings. They draft Sample in the fourth round. What's he going to look like? This is our first week to really get a look at him out there on the football field. And with Sergio Brown coming in, they know that he's an A-plus special teams player. Is he good enough to be an every-down free safety for this football team? Those are the options they have. That's what's there right now. They did what they could. They offered as much money as anybody for Devin McCourty, reportedly. McCourty was obviously impressed. They didn't land that guy, so they had to find some other way to address that safety spot. Did they do enough this offseason to feel good about free safety? I'm not saying I feel good about it right now. I feel better about it than I did last year with Winston Guy and Josh Evans. I'll say that. I feel better about it than I did last year. That doesn't mean I feel good about the free safety spot for this Jacksonville Jaguars team. Linebacker depth is a huge question mark. I feel okay with the three guys that they're going to have starting. If any of them go down, I don't know what this football team is going to be able to get done if they start losing linebackers, especially in numbers this year. So that's something to keep an eye on going into this thing. And look, on offense, we've talked about the storylines on the offensive side of the ball for this Jaguars team already. And for me, the most interesting one as far as getting out to OTAs and watching it is watching T.J. Yeldon, because of how much I think they're going to be relying on him in this offense compared to the other draft picks and even everybody else that they brought in. I think Julius Thomas is a huge add, a huge get for this football team. He is kind of that pass catcher. Everyone talking about when are they going to help Blake Bortles with pass catchers. I think they did with Julius Thomas, and that allows them to move Mercedes Lewis to that second tight end and more of a blocking position, which I think he is much more comfortable with. But I don't think anybody that they brought in this offseason is going to have a direct impact on the production of this offense, potentially as much as T.J. Yeldon. as a second-round pick at running back. You expect these guys, when they get into the league, to be able to go from day one. They are your guy from day one, especially on this football team where it's Toby Gerhart and Denard Robinson and Bernard Pierce and Storm Johnson being the guys he's competing with. He's got to be better from day one than all those guys, right? Because we've seen them play before. So that flash that we saw at rookie minicamp, is it translating onto the field now with the veterans? I know there's no pads on. I know they're not tackling. I know they're not hitting. They're not doing any of those things, but you can still tell some things from just the way these guys carry themselves, the type of explosive plays they are or are not making. And I would hope that T.J. Yeldon stands out again as we go into OTAs, and we'll be talking to John Osher and everybody else about that throughout the next couple of weeks as they get an opportunity to go out and watch practice on a day-to-day basis. Gus Bradley will be talking after practice every day, so we'll find out his thoughts on what he's seeing from some of these young guys. The addition of Julius Thomas, which is something that we haven't talked a ton about today, but I really do. I think that that is a huge, huge deal for Blake Bortles. And the potential of being able to have Julius Thomas and Mercedes Lewis on the field at the same time and hopefully a healthy Allen Robinson and the impact that that could have for this football team in 2015. Because I do think Allen Robinson's going to be pretty darn good in this league. I think you saw flashes of it last year. I think that he could be the go-to guy when everything is said and done for Blake Bortles in this offense. He certainly felt like that on third downs last year. It felt like it when Allen Robinson was healthy and on the field, when they got to a third and six, the ball was going to Allen Robinson. That's where the football was going when Blake Bortles was in the game. So there was a chemistry developing between those two young guys, and hopefully with this new offense that continues to develop, they can take advantage of that. Marquise Lee, as we talked about a little bit last week, the team basically coming out and saying that they felt like they threw too much at him, that it was just too much for him to handle in his first year, that he was more comfortable at the end of the year, and it showed up on the field. Hopefully that continues to develop for this football team as well. If both of those guys and Blake Bortles come along this year, that's huge. That's huge because you're adding a guy like Julius Thomas and hopefully T.J. Yeldon as well. So that could change the way that you feel about the skill positions on this offense drastically if those guys take steps up. And they haven't done it yet. It's still to be seen on the football field. That's what this time of year is about. It's about developing these guys so they can. So we'll see if they can continue to develop these guys and get them ready to compete. Not just to be in games in the National Football League, but to start winning these things. Because I think we all know that that's what it's about. No more, yeah, we only lost by a field goal. Yeah, we only lost by a touchdown. Yeah, if we hadn't thrown that pick six. Yeah, if we hadn't fumbled that ball. Yeah, if we hadn't given up that one big play. No more of that. That's done. That's over. It's in the past. Going forward, it has to be about, we beat this team 31-26, let them be the team saying, yeah, but if we hadn't given up this play, let somebody else worry about that conversation for once, Jacksonville. Let's get to the point where they're winning those football games and they're having to talk about that in Houston and Indianapolis and Tennessee when they come to play Jacksonville, and hopefully first week of the season with Carolina, follow that up with Miami. Let them go back to Miami talking about, man, if we had only not turned that ball over at that crucial time in this game, how could the outcome have been different? Let them have that conversation in 2015. That's where this Jaguars team needs to be as we get into the 2015 regular season. Hopeful to catch up with a player or coach coming off the football field as OTA should be wrapping up any moment now. Hopefully we do get the opportunity to talk to somebody coming off the practice field. We plan on doing that every day with OTAs. That's the tentative plan. We obviously don't work on the same schedule a lot of times as the players, but hopefully we will be catching up with somebody coming off the practice field as the Jaguars wrapping up day one of OTAs today here on May 26th. And we'll see who we can get in studio talk to a little bit about this offseason for the Jacksonville Jaguars to this point. I'm Fat Tony, Mike Dempsey out at Sawgrass today. He decided golf was more important than day one of OTAs. You can take that out on him however you choose. there on Twitter, at MD_1010XL. He'll be back with us tomorrow here on Jaguars Today. Again, hopefully going to be joined by a player coach next here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, a few more minutes to go here on a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today. I'm Pat Tony. Mike Dempsey usually here with me. He's out on the golf course today. He had the opportunity to go play TPC Sawgrass. Again, despite the fact that it's the first day OTAs, Mike, priorities, buddy. But I'm sure he's having a good time out there on the golf course today, and we'll hear all about his round tomorrow, I'm sure. Whether you all do or not, I know I will hear all about Mike Dempsey's round of golf tomorrow. Hopeful to be joined by a player coming off the practice field in the next couple of minutes. I know just talked back and forth with Tad a little bit. I think the plan is to bring Paul Posluszny, the Pro Bowl middle linebacker for the Jacksonville Jaguars, into studio here with us as soon as practice gets done. But that has not happened yet. So hopefully Paul Posluszny here in the next couple of minutes joining me in studio, talk a little bit about what he's been up to this offseason as the workouts and all that are done. It's not just off-season conditioning anymore. It's off-season training activities with the off-season team activities, whatever the OTA stands for, as the team is out there on the field for practice for the first time today. And we're hopeful to be joined by a player or coach every day after practice. And maybe Paul Posluszny here in the next couple minutes. Before we get to that, though, do want to get out to the phone lines for the first time today at 641-1010. Memphis Mac has called us up, wants to talk a little bit about the Jags. What's going on, Mac?
Tony, hats off to you, man. I love that just earlier when you spoke of, hey, let these other teams go home and wonder, man, what if we would have made that field goal, or what if we wouldn't have coughed that football up? I love that. That's positive. That's just a good thing. I talked to Tyler, and I'm more inclined to, I'm eight minimum. Tyler's going 9-7. I'm saying eight and eight is the minimum. And I feel that, Tony. Don't you feel that? You're down there.
We talk about this, Mike and I do, all the time. Appreciate the call, Mac. We talk about this all the time. And I think fans sometimes feel like we're making it up a little bit, like how much we enjoy the atmosphere down here in the building. We're not. We're not exaggerating. We're really not. The access that we have been given here on 1010XL 92.5 FM, obviously getting the opportunity to come down here and do the show every day, seeing Gus and Dave in the hallways on a pretty much daily basis, talking to these players as much as we get the opportunity to, all the access that we have, when we talk about how much we like these guys, we do. We genuinely like the guys. And I try not to let how much I like Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell affect the way that I see the football team. Now, at times it's hard for it not to, right? Because they are such great guys. And when Mike and I say we want to see it work with these guys, it's not just because they're the guys that are in the building right now. It's because we genuinely like them. Like, I like Gus Bradley. I like Dave Caldwell. You know, I would hang out with these guys. I like them, and because I like them, I wish them success here in Jacksonville. Now, that doesn't mean it's guaranteed to happen. They've won 7 games in 2 years. There's no sugarcoating that. They've won 7 games in 2 years. That is what it is. That number is what that number is. And for these guys going into year three, I, like you, Mac, expect this team to improve in that area. I think that I've said 7-9. It's my expectation for this team. I don't want any more double-digit loss years. I can't come in here 10 out of 16 weeks and try to explain what went wrong in a football game. I'm tired of doing it. I've been doing it for almost a decade now of coming in here and trying to explain to everybody what went wrong, why they lost this game. And in football, it's, you know, talking about those couple plays a moment ago and let somebody else worry about them. That's really what it comes down to, generally. It is a handful of plays. And this is a team that last year, look, they could have won 6 or 7 football games, but for a handful of plays. And while last year, when it's a bunch of rookies making that mistake, you can say, yeah, they'll learn from that moment. That's a teaching moment. There are no more teaching moments. No more of that. I can't do that anymore. Now it's about finding a way to win football games. And for me, 7-9... is the number that I'm looking at. I would love to see 8-8. Heck, I'd love to see 9-7. Why not? Let's go 16-0. You know, I mean, let's go win as many as we possibly can. But I can't do another double digit loss year. Just cannot do it. Let's get back out to the phone lines as we await, hopefully, Paul Podlesny joining us in studio here in the next couple minutes. Let's get out to Lucas on hold, who wants to talk a little bit about Julius Thomas. What's going on, Lucas?
Yeah, hey, I just want to say everyone's saying how they want to see T.J. Yeldon and they want to see the offensive line and they want to see Allen Robinson and they want to see Marquise Lee and they want to see Blake Bortles. But Julius Thomas is legit going to be our best player on offense, and everyone's just like kind of overlooking that. And I think it's good because, you know, whenever it comes time for the season, maybe it'll take everyone by surprise. But I just don't get how people aren't paying attention to that. So I'll take your response off the air.
All right, Lucas, appreciate the call. You know what I think it is a little bit? I think because he was the first piece to fall in line, that he's also the oldest piece to fall in line when it comes to this offseason in Jacksonville. And I think you lose sight of it a little bit because there have been so many other things that have happened in the meantime. But I agree with you. I think that it's a huge addition for this team. I don't think that it's certainly been a long time since they've had a tight end that can go get the ball the way that Julius Thomas can. And there's some question out there. The NFL top 100 players, which is voted on by players around the league, hasn't voted Julius Thomas in that group in the last couple of years. And I wonder if other players kind of feel that shadow that, you know, when I've talked to Julius Thomas, the question almost always comes up every time that I've been in a press conference that he's been doing here in the last couple months since he became a member of the Jaguars. He's had to answer the question about getting out of the shadow of Peyton Manning. And I wonder if the other players around the league feel that shadow too. And Julius Thomas, who I think is a really talented football player and is one of the best pass-catching tight ends in the National Football League, regardless of who his quarterback is, I think he is. And I think his numbers are going to be pretty good in Jacksonville this year. If he puts up those kind of numbers, will he finally get kind of that recognition from his peers too? And I wonder if he's feeling the pressure of that. I know that he's tired of answering the questions about Peyton Manning and how much did Peyton Manning help him in his career and what's he going to do outside of, you know, the influence of Peyton Manning for the first time in his career. So we'll see, but I agree with you. I think Julius Thomas is a huge get for this Jacksonville Jaguars team. And again, I think it's one of those that you forget about a little bit just because of when he was brought in, that he was the first one to sign. He was the first big name to sign here in Jacksonville. And I think a lot of people have forgotten about it. But today was also his first opportunity in an official practice to be out there with Blake Bortles. And what was that like? I'm sure he'll be answering questions about that today instead of, hey, do you miss Peyton Manning? He can finally move past it a little bit as the Jags are working on some more on-field stuff. Again, hopeful to be joined by Paul Podlesny here in the next couple minutes on Jaguars Today. We never really know. Again, we're at the mercy of everything else going on around here in the building, and those guys have their own schedule of things that they need to take care of as well. We got some breaking news, Tyler?
Well, it's some breaking news. I'd say it's some pretty big news. Jason LaCanfora just said, Adrian Peterson has vented to some people close to him about interest in retirement. He's holding out for a trade up there in Minnesota, so he wants out, and maybe retirement could be the option he goes. He also says he and agent Ben Dogger, who's also the agent for Dante Fowler, won't go back to Minnesota meekly. So it's not looking good for Minnesota up there.
That's interesting. That is interesting. I don't think Adrian Peterson's retiring. I don't think that's going to happen. Now, he could, even if he retired, he could claim that contract and get himself paid. Like, he's still able to go do that. So I think he's just trying to put some more pressure on Minnesota. Is honestly what I think in the end he's trying to do there. I don't see Adrian Peterson walking away from the game at this point. It looks like we're not going to be able to catch up with Paul Podlesny as he got caught up doing something else. Practice basically just ending. So I know Blake Bortles talking to the media right now. And one of the first questions he got asked about since we've been talking about him was Julius Thomas. And what Blake Bortles had to say in three words or two words, however it was, he's awesome. So Blake Bortles went on to say he was open all day. He's pretty good. He's awesome. So your quarterback talking a little bit about getting his first opportunity to be on the field with Julius Thomas. He's certainly excited about the opportunity to be out there with that guy. It's something that we'll be covering, I'm sure, over the coming weeks and months. But unfortunately, not going to be able to catch up with anybody today here on the show coming off the practice field. Hopefully tomorrow we are able to work something like that out. So thanks for listening. It's been a fun Tuesday here on Jaguars Today. Again, Mike, man.
How many holes in one for Mike today? How many?
Zero today. If I have to hear that hole-in-one story about number 8 at Sawgrass one more time, I may puke. And I'm sure it'll come up tomorrow again with him getting the opportunity to go out there and play TPC Sawgrass today. If you didn't know, and Mike will tell you about it, he had the first ever hole-in-one on number 8 on Sawgrass after the renovation to the golf course a handful of years ago. So if you haven't heard that story, strap in for it tomorrow because he was out at Sawgrass, and I'll get to live through that again as someone who's been playing golf for 17, 18 years and still hasn't got my first hole-in-one. And I'm not nearly as talented a golfer as Jeff Prosser, and he's still looking for his, so that makes me feel a little bit better. But I know I'm just about as good as Mike Dempsey, and he's got two. So I'm not happy about that at all. Gus Bradley addressing the media, just a few things coming out of his presser after practice to pass along to you guys. Marquise Lee didn't work out today. Wasn't on the practice field, apparently banged up his knee a little bit in workouts. They are calling him week to week, so we will monitor that story as we go forward. But Marquise Lee not practicing today, and according to head coach Gus Bradley, banged up that knee a little bit in workouts, and he is week to week on his return. So maybe you do, maybe you don't see him for the month of June here in Jacksonville. All right, we'll keep you posted on everything going on with Jaguars OTAs. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This has been Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey back with us tomorrow. I'm Fat Tony. For Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for John Osier, for John Harris as well, who joined me today kindly enough from a flooded Houston market where they really are dealing with some serious storms out there in Houston. For all of that, we say thank you for listening. We will turn it over to XL Primetime coming up next here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.